Listener discretion is advised. Mature audiences only.
Episode 8 of 10 Kings podcast. How are you, Sabanch? How was your days off?
I'm doing well, G. It was good, good holiday break. Got time to rest and recuperate. How about you?
Yeah, it was good.
That's good.
Yeah, I need. Good thing for the holidays, families get together, and you know, that's always good and stuff. Yeah. But you know, we also took time to remember Guru Sahib and Dar Qurban Niyan too.
Of course,
we didn't leave that. You know, we didn't forget that out. And yeah, but in this podcast, we're going to talk about the Charlie Mukte, Bibi Sharan Kaur, who was basically the last martyr of the Chamkaur Sahib. A lot of people don't know her story. Mm-hmm. And then maybe we'll get into some other stuff like Banda Singh Bahadur's revenge, attacking Sirhan, then how brutal that actually was. That's the thing, man. During war and stuff, like, sometimes you gotta do some crazy shit. And I think people like to have, well, like rose-colored, again, their rose-colored glasses or whatever when they look at our history. But I mean, when these things went into battle, they, you know, they chopped some heads and shit like that. So the attack on Sirhan by Banda Singh Bahadur was fucking pretty hardcore, man. Like, if you read, like, the accounts from, like, the people or, like, the higher-ups in Sirhan, like, what they saw, like, it was pretty, it was, like, basically, like, evil was being purged kind of thing. Also, yesterday, so January 6th, was the Shahidi Day of Bhai Satwan Singh and Bhai Kher Singh, who alongside with Beyond Singh, they popped Indra. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like their stories, man, like if you just look at like by Beyond Singh, by Satwan Singh, and
they were like, hung.
So Beyond Singh, by Beyond Singh was shot at the time when they shot Indra. Satwan Singh was shot too, but he survived. But he had a bullet lodged, I think, in his bottom of his spine. And the authorities purposely wouldn't take it out because they knew it was causing him nerve pain. Kher Singh was the one that basically planned that whole thing, like kind of, you know, pumping up Beyond Singh, Satwan Singh to do what they got to do kind of thing. So, like, when we look at, like, Beyond Singh, like, the morning of when they shot Indra, like, I was thinking the other day, it's like, that morning he knew he was basically not going to come back.
Yeah.
And, like, his family had no idea what he was going to go do. But he had two young kids and a wife, and, like, you know, he said bye to them, and just like any normal day. But to Beyond Singh, he knew that whether he get jailed or killed on the spot or whatever, basically he's never going to come back.
Yeah.
And not just like, you know, to do that, to have that type of courage to do what they did. You know, a lot of people, you know, you can have a government job, a good officer job, and just live your life. You're going to get a pension or whatever.
Yeah.
but you know, they sacrificed all like the comforts of what they had. And yeah, just like the mindset to do what they did. Like Satwan Singh, same thing. Before he left his bin to go back to Delhi to do what they did, he, the last meeting he had with his family, they were talking about his wedding preparations. And he full on knew that he wasn't going to get married. Like he wasn't going to be present. And but he sat there just kind of smiling and nodding at, you know, oh yeah, you're going to wear this color bug, this and that, everything, right? But he, Andron, like his sisters and his mom were, they're doing all the preparations, like what material year were you going to get and all that. And, but Andron, he knew that, and, you know, all these plans that they're making is basically, it's not going to, I'm not going to be present for that. And, the thing is, when he left his house to go to Delhi after that, his mom, Mataji, actually knew that she wasn't going to see her son in a normal fashion ever again. She just had a feeling. She couldn't put her finger on it though. But she said, "I'm never going to see him properly again." And she said she cried when he left. Basically, it was like a goodbye, but she didn't know because that's one thing. Spices once he never told anybody what he was going to do. And like those stories, like just imagine that. Like he was a young guy, right? So Spices once thing too, like he was in getting married, like early 20s, and you know, and he knew either he's gonna get shot or he's gonna be executed for what they're gonna do. So when he left, he didn't shed a tear either. But like, could you imagine like putting yourself in their boots and like saying goodbye to your family for the last time and not showing any emotion? Yeah, so like, yeah, like they had no clue what's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think one of their deaths is still commemorated today at Akal Takht, right?
Yeah. All three of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But imagine, yeah, that I wonder, I mean, I would imagine the mom felt a lot of anxiety, but obviously he didn't.
Yeah, because he was in, and then he was put in jail, right? Satwan Bhai Satwan Singh. So Bhai Satwan Singh, Bhai KR Singh were in jail for a couple years or so. And so the family knew that these guys were going to get executed.
Yeah.
But Bhai Satwan Singh told his dad, he's like, "Don't cry when I die. You better yell Jakare." So his dad basically yelled Jakare when he got Fancy.
I was reading, you know, even the actual assassination, they, I think they emptied the whole like 40 rounds in their Gandhi. So there was menace in there. It wasn't like, you know, that was full on revenge.
Yeah, they had to get it done, right? So Bhai Satwan Singh had the stand gun, Bhai Bhayan Singh had the revolver. So Bhai Bhayan Singh emptied his revolver, and then Satwan Singh, after he emptied the revolver, then Satwan Singh fired his stand gun just to make sure it was like done.
Yeah, I think they fired close to like 40 bullets in her.
Yeah, six in the revolver. I think around 20 odd in the stand gun. So yeah, you're looking at around 30, 40 bullets in her to make sure she was gone, because she kept, after the attack, she knew she was, her time was up, so she wore a bulletproof vest wherever she went. And that morning she had an interview with the BBC, right? British broadcast, whatever corporation, about
the morning of her death.
Yeah. So
what?
She was on her way to her office through the courtyard to do that interview. So she didn't wear a bulletproof vest because she wanted to look good with wearing a sari.
Yeah.
And that's, and Bhai Bhayan Singh, so one thing, they knew they had to do it that day, because that morning when they went to work, a baj came out, a hawk. So if you live in a city, especially as polluted as Delhi, you're not going to see any freaking hawks. Hawks usually, they're out in the khet and out in the fields, like in that type of area. But this is in the middle of Delhi. Basically, a hawk literally came and literally sat right in front of them beside Bhayan Singh and then flew off.
Yeah.
And so that's when they knew, this is basically Guru Gobind Singh is giving us like a blessing here. Like, this is the time to do it now. And then their position in the courtyard. And then she came out with no bulletproof vest. And boom, 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 done. See, tyrants can run all they want, man. But when your death is already ordained by some by guru, you fuck.
Yeah.
You can have a million guards, man. I mean, nothing's going to stop that. So, yeah, so that was January 6th by Satwant Singh, by Keir Singh's Fansi Day. And, yeah, if you look at, like, the whole, all the Shaheeds in 84 and post-84, like, there's so many great Shaheeds, and we'll talk about them as we do the podcast, like, by Avtar Singh Brahma, by Gurjan Singh Bhut Singh Wala, Baba Mano Chal, General Lab Singh, by Sukhdev Singh Babar, by Anok Singh, there's so many. By Anok Singh Babar, like their stories, man, like they're incredible. Like it's so much sacrifice, so much blood, so much just, you know, for the Panth. Like it wasn't for like their own Jameen or their own family. Like they were doing it for us.
Yeah.
Like young guys that basically dropped everything to fight for the Qaum, for the Panth. And a lot of people don't even know their names, man. And
to be honest, I don't even know all their names.
And you know what? We're in the age of information now, so a lot of those names are coming out now. Like a lot of there's a lot of social media stuff coming out, right? Because after 84 and stuff, like the Indian government put a huge, you know, there was a huge propaganda freaking swing, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of the news was dictated by India.
Yep.
So. No, it's so easy to, you know, do character assassination, right? Just basically call them a terrorist. That's all you got to do. And people are so fucking soft. They say, oh, yeah, if an Indian government said they're terrorists, they must be terrorists. Straight like six, too. Like, it's like, are you fucking stupid? That you saw what the Indian government did to us, to our Astana and shit. Are you that fucking, like, are you that, like, just that thick to think that whatever the Indian government says is good? And there's a whole generation of Sikhs that believe that. Their uncles and auntie are now. But they just took whatever the Indian government said as propaganda and they say, yeah, that's gospel, that's the truth.
You know what's amazing? I'm looking at the comments under Indira Gandhi's last interview, and some people still idolize her. Like there's one comment here that says, what strikes about her is the simplicity and her conviction that she did the right thing. Her confidence has a shade of gentleness due to her smile and tone of speaking. So different from current leaders. Love her. She was told by intelligence to remove her Sikh soldier, but she didn't. And because of that, she died. Normal people like us can say we understand politics, but we can't. Then we got Sikhs here saying Shaheed by Satwant Singh. So there's a lot of comments on this. Some interesting ones.
Majority of India thinks she's a martyr, right? So that just shows you what India thinks of us and our Harmandir Sahib. Yeah. Somebody who attacks Harmandir Sahib, they're making movies about her.
Yeah.
And they voted in her son after he did a huge genocide on the Sikhs. After like that just shows the Sikhs that what India thinks of us. Right, but then you still have a lot of Sikhs that are just, I don't know, they're just lost. Dude, man.
Look at this comment. Indira Gandhi, Margaret Thatcher, Golda Meir, incredibly strong woman that changed the course of the world history. Miss Gandhi won us the wars against Pakistan and had Operation Blue Star done. And for that, we remain incredibly grateful. Dude, yeah. people don't understand. Like, that was... Holy fuck, dude. Like... They're basically saying that attack on Harmandir Sahib was a war, dude.
And it was warranted.
Yeah, dude. Like this is insane.
And these Kalans don't even know that the Sikh generals won them the wars against Pakistan.
Fuck. Like imagine
they would have never won.
Imagine somebody just attacking the Vatican.
Or like Mecca.
Yeah, Mecca. Oh my God. Like, yeah, oh well.
Yet there's so many Sikhs that are still pro-India and like, oh yeah, the Sikhs are fucking terrorists or whatever.
There's one that says they love Indira Gandhi, 31 bullets.
The Iron Lady, they call her because she has 31 bullets in her.
Her soul also scared of just Santaja Nirsanji. There's some good comments on this, man.
Wow. Well, there was a story where she, Indra's ghost was haunting one of her best friends after she died.
No way.
Like she could, because she was basically, obviously, the bop she committed, she was basically fucking going through turmoil, right?
Yeah.
So one of her very, very close friends, basically like her sister, she started, that's what a lot of spirits do, is if they're really attached to somebody, they'll fucking go to them. And she was haunting her house. And so, and this lady, I think she lived in Chandigarh. And so Indra was like haunting her house for like a year almost. Like every night she would hear like her screaming and stuff. So this woman, she was I think she was half Hindu, half Sikh. But those Sikhs that think, oh yeah, Santaji was a fucking terrorist or whatever. Uh-huh. And so this woman, she goes to like a pundit and like she goes to everybody trying to get her out of there, but like they just couldn't get her out of the house. Like she was just fucking just scream every night, just, you know, causing shit, breaking fucking glass and everything. And she knew it was Indra because Indra would come in her dreams, like all bloodied and stuff, and saying, help me, you know, you have to help me. So anyways, they do all this Buddha and all this stuff, and they bring like these beads and stuff, and fucking nothing helped, right? And then she's like, okay, we have to like ask, let's go when we ask the Sings, maybe they can do something, right? So she asked like some like Taksali Sings, basically, what can we do here? I guess her family had some people that they knew that were like from Dum Dumi Taksal. And she's like, yeah, it basically Indra's haunting my house, and basically, you know, that's like we haven't slept in a year or whatever. The Taksali Sings, right? They're like, what, just put a picture of Santaji in your house and Indra won't come back. So she was so, like, this woman was so basically desperate. She's like, I'll do whatever you guys want. Uh-huh. So the Singhs brought this big picture of Santaji and put it in her living room. And they're like, just keep this here for 3 days and you let us know. If it doesn't work, then we'll do like a Sag part or something, right? But they're like, let's put this picture in your living room. So basically, it's the typical picture of Santaji holding his deed, right?
Yeah.
So those 3 days, Indra didn't even know that their house was haunted. There was nothing. Mm-hmm. To this day, that lady has that picture of Santaji in their fucking house, man. To this day, after they put the picture of Santaji in their fucking house. Wow. See, that's why, with saints, like, people just think Santaji was just like, you know, some karku or whatever. No, but Santaji was a saint, mom, but a lot of bandagi, a lot of naam abhyas, a lot of freaking barney, man.
There's right? Actually, like, I just googled Indira Gandhi's ghost. There's actually lots of articles on this. There's actually one from the Daily about this reporter that visited Indira Gandhi's memorial, and she's basically. She's saying, I stared at the backs of the two figures who walked towards the house. The woman, short-haired and with a determined stride. The man, gurta-clad, younger and somewhat heavy-set. Was this the mother and son caught in an unending cycle? So she's talking about, when she says unending cycle, she's talking about, like, death and birth and ghosts and stuff. There's a lot of articles, man. This is crazy. I did not know this.
Yeah,
I'm not. I mean, since you said it, I'm not surprised. Yeah, I'm not surprised at all that her spirit became a ghost.
Well, before she got tormented, right? Like, I mean, if she's freaking doing that to her best friend, that means she's going through some a lot of like. Well, obviously, I mean, you attack her on their side when you kill the Sangat and stuff like. And then also, you make a mom put it into a Shaheed, right? Like. What's gonna happen? Like, you're not gonna. You're not going to be accepted at the gates of heaven by Saint Peter.
You know, I can't think of any modern leader, if you want to call her modern, like, you know, 1984 onwards, who has done something like this on the holiest shrine of like a major religion.
She had no bottom, right? She had no bottom. She was basically atheist. She was ready to adopt communism.
Right.
Right. That's why the Russians aided her when they did the attack. Right. Like she had no thought of, like she was a, you know, there's so many words I can fucking use, but I don't want to, yeah, get canceled. Speaking of, what are we talking about here? Oh yeah, fucking Indra. Yeah, so let's get into a couple stories that were related to after what happened with Guru Sahib. So Bibi Shankar. So Bibi Shankar was the last martyr of the Battle of Chamkor. And why is that? Because she was the one that went to the battlefield afterwards, after the battle was done, and she cremated the Antam Sanskar of the Shaheeds, of the Singhs. Yes. So after the battle happened, obviously the news got out around the area there, and Bibi Shankar and her grandma, they were like, okay, we need to go and do something here and make sure the bodies just don't lie there. Like, we have to do like Antam Sanskar.
Yeah.
And so Bibi, so Bibi Shankar, she was about, I think, 18, 19 years old, maybe like 17. She was very young. And her BB, actually her grandma, wanted to go, but obviously her grandma was older, so BB Shankar was like, I'll go and do it. Yeah. And they knew it was a suicide mission, basically, and her family knew that, okay, she's not going to come back.
And Guru Gobind Singh actually asked her to do it, right?
No, she went out of her own. Well, obviously it's Guru gave her the seva, but she had no dialogue with Maharaj.
Okay.
She was just from the surrounding area. And the word got out that, you know, there was a battle at Chamkor Sahib, they got Shaheed and everything. So a lot of people were scared to even go there because it was all cordoned off by the Mughals. Officers everywhere, so basically like nobody could, they basically wanted the Singhs and the Sabjad's bodies to rot, and so nobody could do their like the last respects. And so it was obviously, there was not much light back then or whatever, so she snuck in into the battlefield, and then she basically started collecting body parts of the Singhs. And how she knew that there were Singhs is basically like if a body, like if an arm had a kara on it, or, you know, legs, or like a torso, you know, had, you know, they were wearing barna, they had the kirpan. Yeah. If a head had like kes, dada, the star, like that's the only way she could decipher between the body parts. Again, it's dark, right? And there's like just mounds of bodies everywhere. So she collected it. Like it took her like, you know, 6-7 hours to collect all the body parts. And then she made like a funeral pyre there. And then she knew that once she lights it, basically the guards are going to come running, right? Because it's the whole area is surrounded and covered, crawling with the Mughals. And the minute she lights the big funeral pyre, the funeral pyre, they're going to come running and see what the hell's happening. Uh-huh. So, see, she basically, that's what she did. She lit the funeral pyre, and she had one city sab on her. She had one sword on her, and she's like, the only way is if I fight these guys off. But obviously, when you have so many Mughals there, how many can she really fight off? Uh-huh. So she killed about 10 or 15 of them, but then the rest of them grabbed her and threw her in the fire also. So she basically got Shaheed with the other Singhs too. And she was cremated alongside the Sabjad and then the other Singhs. So she was the last martyr of the Battle of Chamgor. Lot of
Wow.
people don't know that story.
That's powerful.
That just shows you the love that people had for their guru and like the Sikhs and the Shaheeds, right? Like she knew like she wasn't gonna go back home. Like that's it. Like I'm gonna die here. But it's worth it to pay respect to the Sabda, but the Sabda and the Shaheeds, right? And just that mindset, like I mean, as a Sikh Panth, we're so like fickle now, man. Like we're not even close to that mindset. The minute we can sell out our guru, we fucking will, man. Whether it be fucking doing dumb shit online, selling our fucking bodies, doing nushit, like we'll sell out our guru for fucking money in 2 seconds. People who want to go on this path will tell them, "Well, don't do it. You're not gonna get a job. You're not gonna get married. All that other bullshit." And then back then, you have, great Sikhs like Bibi Charan Kaur who know exactly that they're gonna die, but just to do the final respects of the Shaheeds, she's ready to give her life.
Yeah, they had no attachment to themselves.
It was a different beyond, man.
Yeah.
And then we get to the Chali Mukte. So the Chali Mukte, everybody who listened to the story of Anandpur Sahib, the siege of Anandpur, they were the Sikhs that left and they wrote a badawa, basically a
Yeah.
contract saying, you're not Guru Sahib, you're not our Sikhs anymore. Sorry, Guru Sahib, you're not our guru anymore, right?
Yeah,
And we're not your
basically
Sikhs.
renouncing Sikhi.
So the person who wrote that contract, people think it was by Mahan Singh, but it was actually by Bhag Singh who wrote that
Okay,
contract to Guru.
is he one of the 40?
Yeah, he was one of the,
Okay.
yeah. And basically Guru says, "Look, you guys will always be my Sikh, but if you guys are saying I'm not your guru, that's up to you guys, right?" That's what Maharaj told them. And but they said no, we're gonna basically that's it, like we're done here, we're gonna move on. And Maya said, "Look, you're not bound here, right? Sikhi's not about bounding people. If you want to leave, leave. It's up to you. Like if you want to stay, stay. But don't think that just because you guys are leaving that that's our Sikhi or the Khalsa Panth is gonna be like destroyed or whatever, right? This is the house of Guru Nanak, like doesn't matter. There's nobody's what bigger than Guru Nanak." So, again, at the end of the day, man, we need a guru. It's not the other way around. A lot of times we Sikhs, we think, oh yeah, guru needs us. Guru needs our seva. Guru needs our money. If it's not for us, nothing will run. But it doesn't matter. Guru's the one that does everything. Guru gives us seva. That's out of the mercy of our guru, right? Because we get blessings out of that. Right. If Guru's the one that basically created the universe, how can we think that just because we're leaving Anandpur Sahib, that oh now the Guru's Khalsa or Guru Sahib is gonna basically gonna be destroyed now, right? And that mindset is still within the Panth too, right? A lot of Sikhs think, when you look at like certain jathe, no, well not jathe pandiyan, but like committees and Gurdwara and stuff like that, people think, well, if I don't do the fucking seva, this thing, everything's gonna crumble. In the house of the guru, that nothing crumbles, man. Nobody's bigger than the guru, right? For example, look at like guru can give seva to anybody, and it'll be like a tsunami. Look at how Amritpal Singh.
Yeah.
In the last 6 months,
Somebody will always step in.
exactly, guru. Guru has like freaking a forge of Khalsa who are ready to do stuff. So lot of times people get negative, especially a lot of young Sikhs in the Western world. Oh yeah, what's gonna happen to the Khalsa Panth, this and that? Oh, there's not many of us, whatever. When have we been outnumbered? When have we outnumbered anybody? Never. Right? That's just the way it is. But we're still here. Like there was a time where like 40% of our population was killed in the Bardak Alukara, like in freaking 3 days. And then 40, 50 years later, we have the Khalsa Empire. Right? So get it as a Panth, we need to get in the mindset. Our guru's not gone anywhere. The Maharaj will always have people coming in to do seva for the Panth. Right? So this negativity that we as a six we have, like this, oh, it's almost like low self-esteem, like, oh, we're always outnumbered, we don't have enough, we don't have enough. Doesn't matter. Look at how many Mughals there were, right? And what happened? Look at that Mughal Raj. Nobody even knows what the fuck they are anymore.
Exactly.
Like
And
all
that
these.
is pretty incredible because that Mughal Raj ruled for centuries, right? And there's no trace of them today.
And so much money, man. They had so much money. Look at all these like royal families, like in Europe and stuff like that in Northern Africa. Like they still have like these stupid
Just
ass
gonna
royal
bail them.
families.
I was looking the other day at the over the centuries, and basically, what was it? Between like 1650 and 1700, a huge drop, and that's consistent with how the Mughals were just killing people, like that timeline. And let me just see here. And then basically, it was in like the 1800s and the 1900s where it just started increasing like 100 million every year. But during the time of the Mughals, it was it wasn't that much. It wasn't like what it is.
They were
But
slaughtering people like freaking goats, man. It was like a slaughterhouse.
Like how between 1650 and 1700, that time,
interesting, because
that was that was the time where they were really slaughtering Hindus, Sikhs, anyone who's not a Muslim, and their
Well, they weren't even
population
killing
dropped
Muslims
big time.
who wouldn't follow what they were doing, right?
357 million people. I say only, that's when the population, like every basically every year, it would go up 10 million or so. Sometimes more than that, like in the 80s, it would jump by like 20 million each year. Just crazy growth.
Yeah, there was a lot of mass killings in the Mughal times, like just like thousands and thousands of people just killed in like a day. Was like Holocaust, just over and over again, like
Imagine living in
multi-million.
that time. Imagine living in that time. You always got to look over your shoulder. Like you can't, like you gotta be afraid to just practice your religion and like be afraid of what you're gonna say because you could actually leave. Like doesn't that sound wild to you?
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, like,
By today's
six still,
standards,
like.
that's like, dude, that's crazy, man. Like back then, that was just the norm.
And six still wore, like, their full-on Barna and stuff out, knowing full well, like, they wouldn't know if they're going to
That's
come
gutsy.
back.
That's gutsy, dude.
And thing is, back then, like they wouldn't just shoot you in the head, right? Like it was like torture, blood, and like it was like blades. Like they would enjoy killing you. Like it wasn't like a put somebody in a gas chamber and they just kind of faint and die kind of thing. It was like hang you from a tree and skin you alive kind of thing, and just leave your body hanging there so the rest of the band or the rest of the area knows that you don't fuck with the Mughals.
So,
That
okay,
was,
so when the 40 liberated ones left Anandpur, they went somewhere, and it was actually the wives who were very disappointed in them, right? They're like, what the
well,
fuck are you guys?
they basically went back to like the Mudge area, right? Like where they were from. And a lot of them, out of shame, just some of them just kind of just stayed away from like civilization and people, because a lot of people, yeah, like people who found out that like these were the people that left Guru Sahib, like a lot of people wouldn't even walk, that like won't even go near like their shadow or like their, even like the wind, like from walking, like they wouldn't want to touch anything of theirs. That's how like people were like, nobody say anything to them. If they came walking by like the house or whatever, people would go inside their house and let them walk and then come out after. Like nobody wanted anything to do with them. Like they were like, these even the, just
these are the deserters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wow. They were like shit, man. Like we kind of, so they people like let him know, right? And some of them didn't even know what happened to Guru Sahib after. Some of them didn't even know that what happened to Sahib Day. A lot of them, when they found out what happened to Sahib Day after, then their freaking conscience, like basically, like okay, we have to go back and do something here, because people were telling them, like, look, when the food was good and everything, you were all there chilling with Maharaj. But then when the food ran out and everything, you guys left. Like, you know, what kind of people are you? Kind of thing. Yeah. Right? And so they were like, they were almost like basically ostracized from society.
Yeah.
So but then.
Luckily enough, they were convinced to go back, basically.
Exactly, right? Like, again, redemption arc, right? Like, So basically, Mata Paakor, so like as people call her, Mata Paago. So Mata Paakor basically, you know, kind of started talking to them and said, you guys need to go back, like, because they felt, they like, okay, after they heard what happened with Maharaj at Chamkor Sahib, and
yeah,
after leaving Anandapur Sahib and Shorty Sahib and Mataji, they're like, okay, we need to redeem this. Like, this is what we did was wrong, right?
Yeah, and you got to commend the families, because, you know, they had no attachment. They, you know, you would think, oh, you know, the husbands are coming back. Now they can raise the kids and, you know, they won't be widows and the kids won't be orphans. But it was actually the families that told them, no, you guys got to go back, which is commendable.
The wives wouldn't make prashadda for their husbands, and they told their kids not to balafate to their dad.
Wow. Wow.
So they felt it, right? They felt it. So for a good couple, like 6-7 months after they left, like they knew that, okay, we effed up, right? So Mata Paakor so basically organizes them and says, look, why don't you guys go to Binti to Maharaj? Maharaj will forgive you guys, right? Like Maharaj is merciful. Maharaj, you know, you guys need to redeem yourselves here. So Bhag Singh and Bhai Mahan Singh and Mata Paakor, they go to Guru Gobind Singh Ji now. And so Bhai Mahan Singh and Mata Paakor are thinking, okay, because Bhag Singh was like basically the Jathedar of the Chali Mukte at that time, right? And they're thinking, okay, Bhai Bhag Singh is going to go there and basically ask for forgiveness, right? But what happened was Bhai Bhag Singh started saying, Maharaj, look, if we just stop fighting, we can live like a peaceful life. Like I have connections with like people and like with Wajir Khan's crew or whatever, we can negotiate. And then you can go back to being like Guru Nanak Dev Ji and being peaceful and stuff and not doing anything. Right. That basically Bhai Bhag Singh starts saying that to Guru Gobind Singh Ji.
Yeah.
And obviously Bhai Mahan Singh and Mata Paakor are thinking, we're here to ask for forgiveness, and this guy is freaking giving Guru Sahib like advice.
Yeah.
And then basically Guru Gobind Singh said, look, we're doing what we're doing. If you don't like it, you can leave. Look, you already gave me the badawa. Like, you can just leave. It's not a big deal. But he's like, this is the house of Guru Nanak Dev Ji. So whatever we're doing, whatever is hukam is happening now. Right. Well, obviously, Guru Sahib is being very humble. Yeah. So, and so then Bhai Bhag Singh's like, okay, well, no thanks then. Like, we're going to keep our distance from you because we want to fucking live, I guess. And unless you negotiate with like Wajir Khan and basically settle everything and just, you know, become like a sadhu, in the jungle and just hold your sangat there or whatever. They're like, we don't want anything to do with you. And Maya said, that's fine. You can leave. Nobody's, we're not going to do that. So it's all good. So Mata Pak or Bhai Mahan Singh, Bhai Pak Singh, they leave. And obviously, Mata Pak or Bhai Mahan Singh, they're like, okay, we screwed up here. Like, we should have never let this guy talk. Like, we came to apologize, and now this is all basically all fucked up now. So what happened was Mata Pak would basically went to the rest of the Johnny Mukte and said, look, don't worry about Bhai Pak Singh. He's not the leader anymore. Okay. Bhai Mahan Singh is going to be you guys' jathedar now. You guys can redeem yourselves. Because all the rest of them, they wanted to redeem themselves, but I don't know why Bhai Pak Singh started doing his own thing, kind of thing. So Bhai Mata Pakur said to the rest of the Jali Mukte, look, there's Vajir Khan forces are in this area, and they're gonna go towards Guru Gobind Singh Ji. So what we can do is we can just intercept them and just fight them. And it was like 10,000 of them, right? And that's where Sri Muktsar Sahib is right now. And that's where the battle took place then. So the Jali Mukte are like, okay, let's do it. Let's go fight, man. Like, if we die, whatever, but we're gonna die for Guru Gobind Singh Ji now. Like, we left Maharaj there, but now we're just gonna, because it's 10,000 of Vajir Khan's forces. They and there's 40 of them. And they know well, like, they're not gonna survive that. So they're like, fuck it. Let's just do it, man. Like, we can't live our lives like with all this shame and stuff. Like, how we, and what happened to Guru Gobind Singh Ji? Like, how can we live our lives like this? So then Bhai Mahan Singh basically said, okay, chal, let's all, everybody, let's go. And then Bhai Pak Singh basically said, chal, okay. Then he followed too then because nobody wanted to get his advice anymore. So then at the battle, basically the only survivor of that battle was Mata Pakur. And but thing is, when that battle took place, Guru Gobind Singh Ji knew that battle was going to take place. So Maharaj came there and watched the battle as it ensued.
He was at a
And,
nearby, right?
well, you can say it's nearby, or you can say Maharaj Antarjami, right? Maharaj nu pata si, right? Because what happens is, so the battle that happens, all 40 Singhs are basically Shaheed now. And Bhai Mahan Singh and the 40 Singhs, they basically their souls leave the body and they go up to Sachkhand. But the Shaheed Singhs that were basically there guarding the gates of Sachkhand basically said, look, you guys still have the Wadala with Maharaj. Like, you guys need to sort that out with Guru Sahib still. Right?
Oh, wow.
So then,
So now they're in a spiritual realm and they're being told by Shaheeds.
yeah, that he's they're like, you have to sort this out with Guru Sahib still. Right? So obviously, the thing is, Maharaj is on the battlefield collecting all the bodies of the Singhs to do their antim sanskar. Maharaj and the Singhs are basically setting up the funeral pyres for them. And then Bhai Mahan Singh's soul goes back to his body. And Maharaj just knows where Bhai Mahan Singh's body is. So he goes there and he basically puts Bhai Mahan Singh's head in his goti. And basically, Bhai Mahan Singh says, Maharaj, be galti hogi saadi. What we did, please forgive us. And then basically, Guru Gobind Singh said, he says, don't worry about it. He's like, do you still want to live for, a couple more decades? He's like, we can give you life and we'll give you Rajbhag. Basically, we'll give you, if you want Raj, we'll give you Raj right now. And then Bhai Mahan Singh said, no. He's like, we don't want Raj. Basically, dying. Basically, me dying in your goti is the best death I can ever think of. Right. And then basically, then Maharaj took the badawa out from his kamar kasa, so Maharaj's waistband, and then Maharaj ripped it up. And he says, okay, your lekha is done. You guys are all liberated.
That's awesome.
So if you think about this, and then Maharaj went through the Anandpur Sahib siege. Look at how much they lost going across Sarsa, right? Everything they had, they lost. They lost their two young sons and Mataji, Bade Sahibzade Chamkor. They went to Machiwada Jungle, Ochuda Pir, all that stuff. Through all that, Maharaj kept the Vodaba in their Kamar Kasa.
Yeah.
So that shows what the how basically Maharaj is not like people say, oh yeah, Maharaj is some fucking philosopher or he's a mystic, you saint or what. No, Guru Sahib is a Kalpurkh themselves. That's the pyar Guru Sahib has for a Sikh. Even those people that deserted Anandpur Sahib and left Guru Sahib, Maharaj still knew that they're gonna come back. And that's why they kept the Vadaba with them the whole time.
You know that story about how you were saying their souls left their bodies and were at the gates of Sachkhand, but then got sent back temporarily? That's actually, I've heard that story like in different contexts a few times. So there was one story I was listening to, a katha by Sant Widyamji, and they were saying basically there was this lady who did a lot of bhakti, but she never took amrit. But she did like an insane amount of bhakti, right? And basically she passed away and her spirit was taken to Shaheeds, and they were like, what are you doing here, right? But basically Guru Gobind Singh themselves talked to them and said, I'm going to give you an additional 10 days to take Amrit. He's like, I'm not going to let you in, but I won't I won't make you reborn into a new person and make you go through all that again. But what I'll do is I'll give you an additional 10 days or somewhat. So you have 10 days to take Amrit, and then you'll pass away again, and then you can enter Sachkhand. So that's happened apparently, that people get sent back temporarily to fix something.
Yeah, if they're lucky enough, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. If they're lucky enough.
Right. And obviously Maharaj knew Bhai Mahan Singh and the Jatha came and they did their seva, right? So that's why they were given that chance.
Yeah.
And then Maharaj had that dialogue with Bhai Sahib, right? And that's why Sri Muktsar Sahib, that whole area is such a beloved area for the Khalsa. Right, and basically that they call that the land of the Shaheeds, right? Muktsar, and Chali Mukti basically means 40 liberated ones. So the whole redemption arc too, right? Like, I mean, look at us as Sikhs, right? Like we turn our back on our guru quite a bit, right? Like we write vadavas every fucking day, but Maharaj is always ready to rip that vadava. Like Maharaj is always ready to have open arms and accept us back, right? We need guru. It's not the other way around. Once people think that they're bigger than the guru, then that's where they get fucked up. Yeah, these stupid ass pracharaks, fucking kagriyawali, these kind of idiots. They think they're bigger than the pant. They're bigger than guru. Their fucking boats are sinking now. That's what happens. But that's the love. Look at the love of what Guru Gobind Singh had for his Sikhs. Even though they left him, he kept the Vadaba with him through everything. Like literally, Guru Sahib had nothing. Maharaj didn't even have shoes. But they had the Vadaba on them the whole time. He kept his eyes on them the whole time. Obviously, they're beloved Sikhs, right? Of the Khalsa. Who knows how great they are? Like, who knows what kind of bhakti they have in their past lives? I mean, to be called the Chali Mukte, to be liberated, I mean, that's a huge thing, man. Like, Bhai Mahan Singh, actually, in his next life, he became a very great saint. Like, I don't want to say who what the saint is because people would be like, oh, yeah, I don't fucking believe in saints. Yeah, well, fuck off. But he was basically a Mahapurakh too. So, they come and do seva. That's what they thirst for. They thirst for that seva for Guru Sahib. To do seva at Maharaj's chan, right? Whether they come back as shaheeds or come back as saints, get people back on the path, that type of seva, whatever it is, that's what they thirst for. They thirst for the seva of the guru,
Exactly.
right? And that's the beauty, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I would say that's the beauty of the story of the Chali Mukte, that there's always a redemption arc with everybody. Guru Sahib is always ready to accept us back, even when we fuck up.
So
So,
how did the 40 mukta get into our das? Who created that?
I think that was done in the early 1900s or so, or late 1800s by the Akal Takht.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Early 1900s, I think, around there. I think the yeah, around there.
So I was talking about the Indian population earlier. So I found the site. So in 1400, that's the late medieval era, the population of India was 180 million. Then in 1500, it dropped to 130 million. And Guru Nanak Dev Ji was born between 1400 and 1500. And then, but check this out. Between 1650 and 1700, the population in India dropped from 170 million in 1650 to 140 million in 1700. So pretty consistent timing with all like the mass, you know, murders, basically.
The mass elimination, basically.
So that's what the 40 liberated ones. That's a pretty incredible story. Very important to our history.
Yeah, I just show like that. Like, I'm just so taken aback, like, how Maharaj kept the Vadhava the whole time. Like, basically, that Vadhava said that, hey, Guru Sahib, you're not our guru.
Yeah.
And it had all their thumbprints, basically, like, their signature saying that, yeah, peace out. But Maharaj kept it with them, knowing that they'll be back.
Yeah, basically.
Right? Going through all what Guru Sahib went through. Like, losing everything. No shoes, Machi Arda jungle, all that. And, you know, like as a Panth or as a Sikh, you know, we go look for validation from all these other idiots and stuff and like from people and all that stuff when like all we need is our guru. We don't fucking need anything else.
And that's such a great point. I think like in our everyday lives, you know, we go to work, we want validation from bosses and coworkers. We want acceptance from, you know, friends. We want validation from family, friends, everyone we meet, basically. But nobody ever has that foresight to say, you know, what about validation from the creator? Mm-hmm. Most people don't think like that. Most people I know don't think like that. Maybe it's different for you, but yeah.
Yeah, it's thing is we hunt for that validation, and we never, even if we do get it for a temporary time, it doesn't give us any sukh.
Yeah,
right. Maybe for like a little bit, but like that, like you get a couple likes or you get, you know, a thumbs up or whatever. Like, but after that, you just go back to feeling shitty again. When you have guru, like you have like that constant high, or you have that you know that Guru's going to look after you. You know, like there's no fear, there's no anxiety. You know that Guru Gobind Singh Ji has your back. And with like social media, man, when I see like young Sikhs and stuff, like just doing dumb shit just for stupid ass fucking validation, right? Like it's just sad to see, man. It's our Guru's right there. But we'd rather make the world fucking happy or seek the acceptance from the world. And then when we have a guru like this, who's so loving and who gave up everything for us, his four sons, Mataji, Guru Tegh Bahadur Ji, you know, and through all that, they still kept that Badawa on them, knowing that these six are going to come back. Like, it's just like, it's like, how great is Guru Gobind Singh Ji? Like, you can't even put in fucking words, man. Like, how great. No, I was going to say how great of a guru that we have, like how lucky we have to have a guru like that. And we just fucking toss it all aside just for like dumbass shit, for like a little bit of fucking so-called fun or whatever. But yeah, no, sorry, go ahead.
I was saying, like, you know, some Mahapuruks have said, like you mentioned that word, the constant high, that, you know, Mahapuruks have said that with repeated simran and, you know, following it, there is an actual state, or avastha, as our people call it, that you can get to where you're, everything is, your mind becomes tanda, as they call it. Mm-hmm. So there is an actual state like that. You know, like some people, they turn to alcohol or, you know, marijuana or whatever to get that high, to get that boost. But in Sikhi, there's a way to get it without substances, right? And you can maintain, and you can stay in that high forever, basically.
It's that positive high, right? Like, people will just throw the word "jardigalaji" for no fucking reason. Like, just oh, "jardigalaji." No, yeah, I'm sure you're "jardigalaji." You're fucking dying of anxiety because of your bills, right? So don't fucking just throw that word around. Old thing, "jardigala." That's the feeling. That's the high you're talking about. That's what it is, right? Like when the Singhs were in battle, there was, you know, they were still in "jardigala." Like the Singhs of Maharaj Acham Kaur Sahib, they were in "jardigala." They're ready to die.
Yeah.
You know, Shorte Sahib Jadde, when they're getting bricked alive, they're yelling "jikare." You know, so.
Exactly.
That's the high you're talking about. And in this world where anxiety and depression is so rampant, man, like, why are we running after all these other idiots? Why do we want to copy these, you know, these fuddus, you know, these influencers, these singers, these rappers and all this stuff? Like, what the fuck is there? They're sinking themselves. And they're all sold out too. Right? But there's nobody like our Guru Gobind Singh Ji at the end of the day. Right? And it's sad to see, like, especially when I see, like, when you see this stuff on social media where, like, you know, you're hearing stories of, like, especially, like, our young, sick, like, females going towards, like, OnlyFans and all that shit. And, you know, like, maybe they have an upbringing that's maybe not the greatest and stuff. Like, it's when people try to go that way, like, they're obviously trying to crave some sort of validation from something, right? Or maybe they're trying to make money. I don't fucking know. But it's like, we have a history where our ancestors died fighting, defending these women from going into, you know, the selling themselves or whatever, you know, when the Pathans were taking these Hindu women and stuff. Like, we had so many Shaheeds that died just making sure that they weren't kidnapped or whatever. And now, you know, we have people in our community that are just, you know, just for, like, fucking, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's validation. Maybe it's money. I don't know. Because how somebody's brought up, or maybe, like, a lack of a family unit, you know, it dictates a lot when you start doing this kind of stuff. And it's just like, what the fuck are we doing, man? And, you know, it's like, the way to explain to them is, like, you know, I'll be like, look, you're better than this. You don't need to do this.
I think everyone can collectively agree that, you know, our ancestors from Guru's time, they would not be supportive of, you know, what people are doing today, period.
No.
Right? That's the simplest way to put it. Like, if they can actually see what everyone's doing today, they'd be like, no, that wasn't the plan.
We're selling our, is it, and our honor. It's just so important, man, like, in a family and everything, right? Like, you have to, and, like, if you're a young parent right now, like, if your kids are small, like, start teaching them everything now so you create that base with them.
Yeah.
They need to know these stories.
Exactly. Especially when they go through, like, you know, Western or even Eastern school systems, right? They become indoctrinated, basically, in a certain way of thinking. So when they're young, it's important to teach them, at the very least, the history of your ancestors and our gurus.
Yeah, like I was, I guess, growing up, like, we used to go to the Gurdwara, like, every week and stuff. And, like, I don't know about you, Sarpanch, but, like, when I used to go to the Gurdwara on 72nd, the Surrey one, back in the day when I was a kid. And they used to have, like, usually a lot of langar halls do. They have paintings of, like, all the Shaheeds and stuff, like, from, like, by Taru Singh, by Mani Singh, by Sati Das, by Mati Das, like, 80s Shaheeds, like, everything. And, like, I used to just, like, walk around, just, like, look at every picture. I was like, what the hell is happening here? Right? Yeah, I know. And no, it's like, but it's... Yeah. And then when I started reading it by myself, I was like, wow, like, we went through a lot, man. Like, there was a lot of sacrifice. And then, I guess, even at a young age, what you can call it, a curse, or you call it a blessing, I don't know what it is. Sometimes it felt like a curse. Like, I would, like, when you would read about, like, Sakhiyan, like, Shaheeds or whatever, it wouldn't get me depressed, but it would get me like I look around like, what the fuck are we doing as six? Like, we forget these guys. Like, we forget all of them. Like, they look at what they went through. And I'm like, I have such a comfortable life, like, and stuff. I'm like, do I deserve this? Like, our ancestors went through so much for us, for us to live, like, to have Sikhi and all that. But I'm just like living my life, like, I'm just like, we have to fucking remember them, like. And I remember when I used to drink and stuff. Like, I remember I used to go into those rants about like Shaheeds and stuff, and I almost felt like maybe Andro, it was like my guilt coming out. That I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? And then we have such great Shaheeds that died for us, like Chhote Sahibzade, Vade Sahibzade, Baba Deep Singh Ji, and like,
Well, that's what I was saying. We live in a time like it's still not perfect, like our society today, but we are in a better place because of the sacrifices of our ancestors. We can practice religion freely without having fear that we're going to get our heads chopped off, right? And there's so much information out there. Like I've said before, there's no excuse not to read your history. It's you can find it now. Before, that information was available to a select few, right? But now there's no excuse. You can get this information. Like, there's no excuse for not knowing.
I remember when I was a kid, man, when I got that, when I wanted to read about the Shaheeds and stuff, like, I went to the Surrey Public Library, and they had this like one old ass book, like, with no pictures or no nothing. And it had like just these little snippets of our Shaheeds. That was like the first time I actually got to read about like Bhai Mani Singh Ji, Bhai Taru Singh. And then I was like, that's when the internet started too, then. And then they had like pictures of like those paintings you see in Langar Halls. People were posting those pictures online. And I'm like, that's when I'm like, now I look at like today's age where everything is available, like biographies of like Shaheeds, like from the 80s to like from the early 1900s to like Guru's times. Like, everything is out there. It's like you pick and choose what you want to absorb and consume. And you have to pick, man. Like, there's shitty sh there's a lot of shit on the internet and social media, but there's also a
That's
lot
the
of
other
good
thing.
stuff too.
Now there's a lot of misinformation too. So it's like there's it's good and bad. You gotta have that knowledge to cut through what is real information and what isn't. But yeah. Especially on
Yeah,
these Sikh message boards. I don't know if you go on these Sikh message boards like
I stopped, man. I stopped once I started growing my case. I stopped because that shit was
Have
fucking
you
me up.
noticed there's like yeah there's like weird accounts that'll go on there and just like take a totally different view on Sikhi, and then I don't know, man, it's a wild place if you go on these message boards.
Yeah, there's two places I don't go for Sikhi stuff: Twitter and message
Oh
boards.
dude, Twitter. Yeah, man, well, Twitter is self-explanatory.
Yeah,
Fuck.
Twitter Sikhi is fucking. If you want to lose your Sikhi, you go to those two places. Like, if you want to start questioning your guru, you go to those two places, man.
Yeah, no, that's true. Especially if, like Nindya, like Dasam Granth, you'll
Yeah.
see that. That's the thing. It'll make you question Sikhi.
There's this one Kalan. His name is Puneet something. He says, oh, the Panj Kakars, they're not on the Guru Granth Sahib, so Panj Kakars were made by the British.
Wow.
He's a Sikh too, and he ties a pag in India flag colors.
Is this a guy on a message board, or is he like a influencer, or who
No,
is he?
he's on YouTube, he's on Twitter, Puneet Silwani or some shit. He looks like a fucking lolo, man.
Wow, man. Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, there are people. Oh, yeah, no, I get it. I get it. I've never heard
the kind
of
of guy
that.
He's the kind of guy you crack over the head with a zucchini, man. Like, he's that type of guy.
I've never heard of that take. That's the first time I've ever heard that take, that the Punch of God was created by the British. Why would the British create the Punch of God? I'm trying to think out loud here.
Fuck.
Is
like,
he from
no, no, he's a, he, I think he's from Delhi. He's one of those Delhi Sikhs, man.
All city Sikhs, okay.
And, and thing is that, like, you have so many Hindu nationalists that are saying, oh yeah, good job, sir. And
in the comments,
it's just,
yeah, I know.
And it's like, where did these guys have the, like, where did they get these big ass balls to do this shit, man? And I've noticed too, man, like, even with our TikTok videos and stuff like that, like, you get a lot of people, like Pathans and a lot of Hindu nationalists that's fucking like to say stupid shit too, man. Like, it's like, why do you guys go on our stuff? Like, we don't go on your guys' stuff and start saying shit.
Like, I'll tell you right now, I have never gone on, like, someone else's, like, religious, like I would never diss the way a Muslim on practice is. Or the way a Christian worships or a Buddhist worships. It's hilarious, dude.
It's almost like some of these people have low self-esteem about their dharma or something.
It is odd. Honestly, it's so bizarre. Religion, like religion or spirituality shaming is one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. It makes no, like I don't know. It just makes no sense that you've got the time of day to go on another person's faith and just talk about their faith. I don't know.
Because again, a lot of people are jealous of our history, right? Like, there's no history like ours. Like, yeah. we can talk about Spartans, we can talk about Vikings, this and that. You know, Vikings killed and raped so many people. They fucking used to do horrendous stuff. They were basically like the Mughals of Europe. Mm-hmm. And people, we're Viking. Like, no, man, Vikings would be fucking mass rapist serial killers. Like, how can you look up to that shit? Right? And same thing with the Middle Eastern armies. What the fuck did they do? They did a lot of fucked up shit. But then when you look at the Khalsa, you can't even fucking put an ungli towards the Khalsa.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Our ancestors set a very high bar, right? And we've got a responsibility to maintain it.
And, blessings from our guru, right? Like, that's Mariyada from Sachkhand.
Yeah.
Right, you know, there's nothing wrong with picking up the sword or picking up a weapon.
You know,
it has to be the right hands.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know how people say, like, when you take Amrit, there's a higher standard now of there's a higher conduct expected from you, and I think that's the way it should be, because I think that was the whole point. So, you know, when you look at an Amritdhari Sikh, you can look to someone who is the standard. Right, like, that is the standard of a moral high, like a high, morally praiseworthy, like, person. Right, that's how you ought to act. Now, nobody's perfect. People are going to make mistakes, but the reason it's a high bar is because of, like, you know, the sacrifices our ancestors made, and we've got a responsibility to maintain that high bar.
That's exactly it. Like, when I go out in public, every interaction I have, I make sure it's a good fucking interaction for the person. That's whether it be a Gora, Chin, or whatever, because I wear the mala, dadi, everything, right? So, especially living in Alberta, right? You deal with majority Gora out here. So, yeah. Try to make a whole positive, because when they look at you, they can see, okay, this is a Sikh. They're nice people, or whatever. Yeah,
you're representing, basically.
Exactly. Same thing. If I'm walking on the street or whatever, I don't fucking gawk at girls or anything, right? Because you gawk a little bit too long, and then the girl looks at you and goes, "Oh, these fucking things are fucking creepy." And we already get some of that shit.
Yeah.
Like, well, when I see, like, these TikTok videos of, like, people doing pangre and fucking wearing the stara and putting boldan on their fucking head and shit, it's like, what the fuck are you doing, man?
You know,
there's a lot of sacrifice.
And even in our faith, like, we don't sugarcoat it. And I'm paraphrasing here, but I think there's lines from our Gurbani that says, like, you know, if you want to walk this path, be prepared. Which is basically saying it's not an easy path. Like, this is not a walk in the park. right?
It basically, Mana says that this path is like walking like a tightrope that's thick as a hair, like a
Yeah.
string of hair.
Yeah. It doesn't sugarcoat it at all, which I appreciate.
Yeah, like I see like Aragorn, like people when they saw that the Star and the Dari people back in the day, they knew that these guys had aren't. People were scared too, not in like an egotistical way that were, but it's like don't fuck with these guys kind of thing, like a lion kind of thing. Like you see a lion, you don't fuck with it. Right now, when you look at TikTok and whatever, like we have people like going to start doing Gidda, man. Like that,
Yeah,
you know what I'm
yeah,
talking about, right?
it's definitely gone off the rails, dude. For some people, for
There's
sure.
no qadr, man. There's no appreciation for what we have because it was given so cheaply to us because our ancestors paid the ultimate price for it.
Yeah.
And you only have to look in the a couple, like maybe a generation and a half before, they paid a big price to keep this too.
Exactly.
Like when I see the fucking just doing stupid bandhan on the ground, man, like. Have a little bit of Ankh, man. Compose yourself. We're not fucking monkeys and jumping around. Wherever we have the chance to Bhangra, we do Bhangra. So there's a time and
100%.
place for that shit. If you're really into it, there's a time and place for that. But wherever you fucking see a group of fucking apne bande, we'll take fucking this Bhangra, you Bhangra, that's it.
Yeah, exactly. And then you wonder why in Bollywood they show any Sikh character bunged up lying for some reason.
Oh, it's like Johnny Lever used to fucking do a
Roger
full-on
Hindustani.
rail on us,
If
man.
anyone wants to see how Bollywood portrays a stereotypical Sikh, go to just YouTube Johnny Lever, Roger Hindustani. His first appearance
He comes
is
dancing out,
just,
doesn't he?
dude, he dances out like he's just like a clown, man, like a monkey. It's fucking embarrassing, dude. Check it out. You'll see it, you'll find it yourself.
The
Also,
thing is,
Anupam Kher in
Partica,
that
the Partica,
yeah, in Mohabbatein.
right?
Yeah, he's wearing a parka, and it's the same thing, dude. I can't believe that was Anupam Kher, because Anupam Kher is actually like a pretty good actor, but yeah, that's Anupam Kher.
Partica stay on his head?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Like a suction cup?
By the
The
way,
thing is, looking.
it was Guru Gobind Singh's birthday just at the end of
Yeah,
December,
Gurpurb
right?
was, yeah.
At Nanak's, so they actually, you know how they have a photo of usually a Baba Nanak Singh Ji there at the
Yeah.
front?
Yeah.
So they actually, for that day, they replace it with Guru Gobind Singh Ji's photo, and that's the photo from Hazur Sahib.
Yeah,
Apparently,
yeah.
that photo of Guru Gobind Singh Ji is supposed to be one of the most accurate depictions. Is that right?
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
exactly it, yeah.
Yeah, so they had that version photo up. It's pretty cool.
That's a classic. Ahmad is wearing like a teal greenish chola.
Yeah, totally different. That's really cool, because that photo is like totally different than the standard photos you see of Guru Gobind Singh Ji.
Yeah, well, that's like the Mughal art style, right? From back in that artistic style
There's
from
not much
that.
detail. Yeah, there's not much detail in like the fine lines or like the in the face, but like their attire, the clothing, and the kalgi, everything is a little different.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a nice one. Like the Hajur Sahib
Yeah.
Sroop is really nice.
Yeah. We're used to the soul busting.
Yeah, the soul buzzing ones, yeah. And there's a couple other like artists doing that stuff too. And people are doing like the AI compositions of like the AI tries because they fuck up the start a bit, but
Yeah,
they make the
or
start.
they'll have like futuristic depictions of the gurus, like the gurus in like 100 years from now, or like 200 years from now. I mean, there's some talented artists out there, different depictions. There's one photo during Guru Hargobind Sahib Ji's time that's supposed to be like the painter basically was around at that time, and did a painting of Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji, and you can tell from that photo that Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji was like a huge guy. Like, you know how people say he was 6'10" because his jola is huge and stuff, but even from that photo, you can tell they were a giant of a man.
I saw this one painting. I don't want to laugh, but it was Maharaja. It's like it's a modern artist that just did it, and I guess maybe they're not good at drawing animals or like whatever, but it's like a painting of Guru Gobind Singh Ji on a horse, but the horse is so big that it makes Guru Gobind Singh Ji look like a little kid on the horse. Like,
really? Like, I know, that's why you got to be careful when you draw these, man.
Like, it was just like, you know, people were commenting like, oh wow, so nice. I'm like, that doesn't look right.
Can you send me that later? That's
I'll send it later. Yeah, I laughed because if like a grown human being's like Guru Gobind Singh Ji's like, you know, a good stance of a man, right, like a warrior, and he's on a horse, his leg should be dangling down from the horse,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this depiction was like the horse was like imagine a kid sitting on a full size horse, but they made it look like Guru Gobind Singh Ji on a horse.
Oh, you know what? I mean, Guru Gobind Singh and their horse go hand in hand, because a lot of people who have had darshan Guru Gobind Singh Ji, they're usually on a horse. There's a story of this BB who was doing. Is it called Jor Seva?
Yep.
And yeah, so they had darshan of Guru Gobind Singh Ji, like suddenly who appeared on their horse. Other Mahapuraks, when they get darshan of Guru Gobind Singh, they show up on their horse. So it's like hand in hand.
Yeah. It is like, honestly, whenever I see a horse, if I'm driving around here in the farms, I see a horse, I think I'm going to Gobind Singh Ji automatically.
Even Baba Harnamji, when they had darshan of Guru Gobind Singh Ji outside their house, they showed up on a horse.
Yeah, I think it was Baba Nam Singh Ji or Baba Ishwar Singh Ji. But then I wanted to have darshan of Guru Gobind Singh Ji. That was their Guru Gobind Singh Ji was with the Sangat. The Sangat was doing like I think it was during Gurpurb. They were doing Nagar Kirtan in the pind.
Yeah.
And Guru Gobind Singh Ji was riding on their horse alongside the Sangat as they were walking.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, Samadhi isn't far away, man. Like, again, to go back to looking at, you know, finding validation from these other idiots and assholes, like, you don't need to. Like, Guru Gobind Singh Ji isn't gone anywhere. And just the story of the Chali Mukte just shows you how much he loves his Sikhs. Because when they left, again, Mara said, you guys are still my Sikhs. I don't care. You guys can write a contract or whatever. But,
yeah,
right? It's almost like a child will say, oh, your mom, dad, you're not my dad anymore. I don't like you anymore.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then the parents would be like, okay, kids, child koi na. Kind of thing. Right,
yeah.
So that's how Guru Gobind Singh Ji is for us, and yeah, just to go back to like people doing weird things on social media or on the internet just to get some validation, or whether it be making some fast money or whatever, it's, you know, you're better than that. Like, you don't need to do that. If you want validation, or if you want like find freaking true love, you find that from our guru. Guru Gobind Singh Ji's always ready. Right? We're his children.
Yeah.
Maharaj, they're never gonna boot us. We might fuck up big time. But if we don't say Maharaj, we messed up, Maharaj is always gonna accept us back. Right? Like, just for like easy money or easy validation or easy fame, we'll sell our soul, man. Like, look at freaking Mia Khalifa, man, for example. she after whatever the fuck she did before, but now she went through a really dark, depressing time, man. Like she was basically almost suicidal.
Is she born in a Muslim family?
Yeah, she's born in a Muslim
family. I'm assuming so. Yeah. Yeah, I know she was a big like Ovechkin fan, like a big hockey fan. But
she regrets what she did. Like she huge. Like she's like, I fucking, she's like, it's all over the internet. I can't stop it. I don't even have I don't even make any money off that anymore. She's like, I got I just got paid like the fee like up front and that's it. And he's like, they're like, yeah. So many people are making so much money off of my dumb decision at that time.
Wow.
And it's not, trust me, we're not far. We probably are already there, but people in our community are starting to do that shit, man. Right. And that's why we have to be very upfront about these kind of conversations. Like we can't just be like, hide it and be like, no, we have to fucking confront this shit right away and be like, you guys are better than this. Yeah. Like, sometimes it'll be like a whole war on social media, like, oh yeah, but we believe this, and then it's like, fuck, man. Like,
no, and sometimes in my opinion, I don't know about you, but in my opinion, like this body positivity not in line with Sikhi. It's got nothing to, like, it's opposed to Sikhi.
It all comes down to ego, right? Like ego is if you're proud of your body, proud of all that shit, that goes all down to ego.
Yeah.
Mara says, look, your youth only stays for so long. Your body turns into dust after. Yeah, so why be so proud of it?
Yeah.
What? You're going to look good for what? 20, maybe 20 years, maybe 15 years, 10 years, 30, I don't know. But then after when you start getting old, it starts to fucking sag.
Yeah, don't be proud of your youth. There's that other
exactly.
Gurbani, one of the buckets, it's from one of the buckets, but they're like, you know, don't be so proud. Your boat is still out at sea. Who knows what could happen? Something like that.
Well, basically, they're saying that don't laugh at other people or look down on other people or when they have misfortunes or whatever.
Yeah.
Right, because your boat is still out at sea. Just because their boat sank doesn't mean yours won't.
Exactly.
And yeah, that's the thing. It's weird, man. Like our community, some they're stooping down to weird levels now. And just go, when we have such a great guru, why the fuck are we doing that shit? Guru is there for you. Like I understand, like in our families, like we have, you know, so we have some hard times, like with substance abuse and parents and all that stuff, and like it molds a child or a kid, and maybe they don't find that love or validation from their house, so they seek it from other places, and then they fall into that kind of stuff. And if you know anybody that's doing that kind of stuff, just tell them, you have a guru who's your true parent. They're always ready to accept you. You don't need to get attention or a thumbs up or a validation from these weirdos and sickos.
You said it.
Right? Like, you know, I don't know. I just find it very sad, man. I have a very young daughter, right? So I find it, and what I try to instill in her is that Guru Gobind Singh Ji loves you. Guru Nanak Dev Ji loves you. Guru Arjan Dev Ji is always there for you. Baba Deep Singh Ji is always there for you. They're your best friends. They'll never leave you alone. I always did tell that to her.
That's good.
So you have to instill that in the child. That, hey, I have my guru. And as they grow older, as she grows older, I'm going to explain, look, Guru Gobind Singh is your true father. I'm just here as a worldly thing.
Yeah.
When I die, Guru Gobind Singh is still going to be here for you. My soul is going to be gone. I'm not antarjami. I'm not liberated, right? So make Guru Gobind Singh Ji your best friend, because he's going to be here. He's going to be there till the day you die and after. He's your true father. You have to impress him, not me.
Yeah.
Live your life.
That's the correct way to do, but it, you know, people don't want to, that's hard for people to accept, you know, because we're so ingrained by the five senses, right? Oh, it's what we see and hear. But what you're saying is within, that is the key. You're right.
Live your life impressing the guru, because the guru will give you everything. I can't give you how much can, what, like, what can I do?
Yeah.
Right. I'm just a human being. The guru will give you everything in this world and the next. So you have to live your life impressing the guru. Not me. Don't worry. Again, my body's going to turn to dust. And that's what I'm going to explain to the kids as they get a little bit more mature. That they really need to understand that. Right. And empower, like, give them empowerment. Like, look at our ancestors. Look at Mata Pahakur. Look at Mata Sahibkur. Mata Gujarkur. We have such great, great female role models. A lot of females in the 80s that fought against the government. Like, we have such great warriors in our history. Why are we looking up to fucking, you know, these other celebrities or whatever that sell their body for whatever they can? Yeah. Like, why are we looking up to these people? We have great role models just within our community, right? And to always explain stuff, stories and stuff, to instill that in the kid. Because once you create that base within a kid, a child, it stays with them. It stays with them. And then when the hard times arise, they'll remember the Sakya. Like, oh, look what Guru Gobind Singh Ji went through.
Exactly, exactly.
It's, you know, what I'm going through right now is not that bad compared to what Maharaj went through. You know, maybe I should, you know, toughen up, right? Maybe. Oh, exactly, right?
Like, it gives perspective. It gives so much perspective.
That's it, right? It gives a spectrum for the child and as they grow up. Like, why am I complaining about if I didn't get pizza tonight when the Singhs and the Singhani at Anandpur Sahib didn't eat for eight months? They didn't eat properly. Why am I complaining that it's so cold when the Shorti Sahibzade and Mataji were in the Burj freezing? Right? So it gives perspective.
It's funny. We always talk about, man, that wind chill. That wind, it's minus 10 with a wind chill. Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. It gives the somebody perspective and the child perspective, right? And it's up to each person. It's a grassroots thing to start it in your own house, right? And look, they're going to make mistakes and shit like that. It's part of fucking life. Look at the Chali Mukte.
Yeah.
They made a mistake. But Guru Gobind Singh Ji was right there, ready, waiting, just waiting for them to come back. Right? So, you know, as kids get older, even if they make some dumbass mistakes, we also shouldn't be too hard on them either.
Yeah.
Right? Then it will almost create Sikhi as a poison for them too. Right? Like people, how they jam religion down their kids' throats and stuff, and then they grow up and say, like, I know so many Catholics that they said, I just couldn't do it anymore. Just couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, I know. I knew, I still know this devout Mormon. I think I may have told you about her, but she was basically Mormons. Okay, so Mormonism is it's a sect of Christianity. They, mm-hmm. They're basically founded in Utah, the state of Utah. Mm-hmm. And their prophet is basically like this. It's just this guy. Like, I don't know. I don't know how to describe him, but he's a
guy. His name was John, wasn't it?
I have no idea, but they believe in Jesus. Basically, that's the point. But their beliefs are very hardcore. She, like, you know, she didn't drink caffeine. You know, obviously no alcohol. She went to church every Sunday, like very devout. But you know, she did a complete 180 and went the other way. But the way she views it is that her life went good getting away from religion. So, you know, that's how she views it for now. I'm curious to know how she views it in another 5 years from now, but. Yeah, like to your point, a lot of people get away from religion or faith, you know.
Well, if it's shoved down the throat, like even like, you know, like we know people from that went to Khalsa school, for example, and we know what type of stuff they do, right?
Yeah, so her parents were actually like the leaders of the Mormon church in their town. And so to your point, like it was just basically, it was too much for her, I guess.
Yeah, like it's like imagine giving medicine to a young child or whatever. You give them too much, they're gonna overdose, man. You gotta really know how to just like slowly, holy, holy, yeah, not this and that. Then they're gonna you want them to grow that love for guru by themselves.
Yeah, you want them to be inspired, not forced.
Exactly. So when somebody's inspired and they grow that love by themselves, they become a much more of a concrete Sikh then. Right? And oh, fir doldeni easily. Right? They because they it's not a shallow or like a very thin form of dharm or sikhi. They have that love, like that voice in their head, that consciousness that they develop, or their soul that talks to them. But if it's forced, that hatred comes in, and then they start to back off, and then they'll hate anything that comes with it. Like I know, I met this one person, and they said that yeah, whenever I see a Sikh or like a Singh, like it just I find them so creepy because she's dealt with weirdos before. And it's sad because, I mean, this is the Surupa Guru Gobind Singh Ji that the Maharaj gave us. But some people create such a toxic fucking environment or a toxic th thing that they almost make us look like they give the Surup a look of a demon. Like it's sad. Right, and what bop that person has to deal with, like that Singh that or those Singhs or whoever that created that toxic opinion in her mind, they're gonna have to deal with that bop when they either in this well obviously in this life too, but when they pass on because look what they did, they pushed somebody away from the guru, right, with their actions or with whatever they did, so yeah, I mean. And I think that's well, like one of the reasons why we started this podcast too, was like because to do like a layman's term of Sakya and Sikhi and stuff like that, because a lot of people who are trying to get into spirituality who are new, who have never done Sangat before, sometimes when they listen to like other stuff on YouTube or whatever, a lot of stuff goes over their head. Like they don't have like that base set up, so this is why we did this is because it's a very nonchalant or very easygoing thing to talk about because it's informal, right? Because I mean the shit we say and the fucked up jokes we have, but like the pansy stuff and could you imagine? Hi, my name is Pan. I swear I'd probably die life. I'd die laughing. But that's the thing, right? Like the formal the informal way of and the stuff that we can talk about, because a lot of stuff that we talk about won't and that we will talk about in the future, people don't do on stage, right? Because they just don't. Like I always wonder, like, why don't people talk about the shit like we're like the social media and this weird ass shit that people are doing, like the people can't talk about that on stage, or like even the simple thing is that the caste system. Why don't Pracharaks openly talk shit about that? Why? Because a lot of the Gurdwara that they get paid to go to are caste based, so they can't. They want to obviously they have a family to raise too, so they don't want to lose, you know, that tour that they're going to go to or. Not get asked to go to a certain Gurdwara just because they called out the caste system.
We might have an interesting guest coming on our show that we're working on, right?
Well, it's for sure now. Next week, we're going to have the next other Swami come on the show and discuss their experiences with the Radha Swamis
This will
and
be
get a bit of
enlightening.
an yeah, because I've never heard of any ex Radha Swami like talk about their experiences.
And gee, you and I were saying we have no idea what this person's gonna say. So this is gonna be, yeah, we haven't, there's been no practice of questions or anything. This is gonna be off the cuff. Like, we have no idea what this person's experience was. So
that's the beauty of it. It's just gonna be an open book. Just that's the beauty. Like, it's gonna be just Sydney
live. Right? We are live.
Monday Nitro, WCW. Yeah. But yeah, whatever that Mr. Singh is going to be his name, but whatever Mr. Singh is comfortable with too, right? So we're going to support him. And I told Mr. Singh after the fact, even if he wants to edit anything out, he can let us know, right? So it's whatever they're comfortable with, because they do still have family members who are still with that all the Swamis. Then after that, we're gonna have a hardcore vegan come to, and we're gonna talk about the beauty about his story is how he was such a hardcore meat eater at one point of his life.
Yeah, this guy ate ribs like crazy. His favorite food was ribs.
Like he ate so much meat that he started getting health problems. Like, that just shows you. Like, he could be freaking Gordon Rakesh in his past life, maybe.
Yeah.
So, and then we're going to get somebody else come in who is a hardcore alcohol abuser, drinker, and stopped cold turkey. It's been 2 years, and I never thought that person would stop, honestly. And just kudos on them, on just stopping.
Kudos.
So, it's always like I love the redemption arc, man. Or like just people changing their lives in a way. Like, they used to do something before and now they changed it to doing something else. Like, how I love those type of stories where people just change. Yeah. And what suits them better, right? So we're gonna get that story out, and then yeah. And again, it's going to be all informal, boldly. So that's the beauty. We'll tie everything to Sikhi too. So with the vegan stuff, with the substance abuse and everything. So that's what we have lined up for the next month or two. And then as we go, we're going to do more Sakyam, more stuff, more, you know, Shahidi biography, stuff like that, just to get the information out there.
Yeah.
And that people can, you know, absorb. And then, you know, once you absorb it, you have it in your brain and you can tell stories to kids or family members or whatever. So, yeah. I mean, we're not getting paid to do any of this stuff. We're just literally just doing it for the sake of just doing it. With the grace of the guru, right? So, anyways, good show.
Very good. Good show, guys.
Good show. Talk to you next time. Punjab de Vallanu.